Welcome to the March 16th, 2008 Morning Worship Service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, At the Name of Jesus. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families, and we welcome you whether you're a longtime member or first-time guest. It is Palm Sunday, and we welcome you to worship as we continue in our journey towards Easter. Several announcements that we have going on today. We are having a children's time, but first the children will be waving their palm branches as they come down during the first hymn, and then we'll be down here for children's time immediately following that hymn. We are less than 2 weeks away that our youth are headed to the Bahamas on our spring break mission trip. We're going to be having a meeting during snack supper. So all the youth mission team down in the youth room today at 5:30 while we're eating snack supper, we will be meeting for just a few minutes. I do want all the team members to make sure you bring your mileage sheet and your story sheet that we handed out last time. Okay. We are part of what we'll be doing in the Bahamas is in conjunction with Team I Am. Team I Am is our community missions group that goes out to local homes and the community surrounding our church and does mission work, construction projects. We're having a big day on April the 19th. That day it's going to be a big day where we have the clothing giveaway. We're also going to be having a lot of construction that day. April the 19th is Team I Am. It's kind of a blitz all-day construction, and so we want you to put that on your calendars. We are having a clothing drive right now in Smith Hall. There are boxes for you to donate old clothes instead of going to Goodwill this time. If you could collect any spring or summer weight clothes and bring them to Smith Hall. Those boxes were a little covered up this morning with stuff. We've moved those out so it's easy to get to. If you can bring those by next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, bring all those, all your clothes, spring or summer weight clothes, men, women, teenagers, children, whatever you have, we're going to split the clothes up between going to the Bahamas and for the April 19th date here in our community. So if you could bring that next Sunday morning, anytime between now and then, and put those clothes in the boxes labeled in Smith Hall, that would be very helpful. We have a busy Holy Week this week. The full schedule is on the back of your bulletin. We want you to notice those, including no Wednesday night events, because we'll be having Maundy Thursday services Thursday night, a Tenebrae service Friday. Saturday, in the last few years we've had our Easter egg hunt, our extravaganza for our children. We're gonna hold off on that this year with everything else that's going on. So Saturday night we're having the Passion Rock Opera, which is an event that's designed for you to invite your friends and your neighbors to come and to hear the story through scripture and through music. The Passion Rock Opera, if you want to know more about it, you just type in thepassionrockopera.com on your internet, on your computer, and it'll bring up all the information about it. We have several things. We need your help getting the word out about this. It's gone out in local Papa John's pizza boxes. It's been in Chick-fil-A. We know that a lot of you have taken some of these resources and passed them out. We've got less than a week to get this word out. We know that there are some local grocery stores that would love to have this stuff up. We need for you to go out and ask businesses, places where people get together, and ask them to put up these kinds of posters. We really need your help in making this happen. We know that in walking distance of our church that grocery stores have not been asked. And we would like for you to go out and help us get that word out. It's going to be a great night, Saturday night, March 22nd at 7 p.m. That we get to retell the passion story. So it's going to be a great week, and then culminating next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. And we hope that you're able to participate in all of those. And we appreciate the work that's gone into all of these events. And it's going to be a powerful week, and we look forward to it. Let's see. I think that is all the announcements that I have. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. A little while ago, I should have asked you to fill out the pew pads. And so if you could start those going down, that would be helpful. If you're a member or a guest, there are pew pads. If you could sign those, everybody, and send them down the aisle, and then back again, that would be helpful. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to raise your hand. If you're a guest, our ushers are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give you some information about our church. Inside, you'll find a letter from our pastor as well as a newsletter. Tell you what's going on in the life of our church. We appreciate you being in worship with us this day. It is time for us to have our invitation to share in worship. This is our responsive reading. This is our chance to begin worship together as the body of Christ. It is a responsive reading based on John 12, verse 13. You will find this printed in your bulletin. I invite you to stand now for the responsive reading. Please read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. King Jesus comes. King Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Messiah.
Hail, King Jesus, King of all.
Recall the words of the scriptures. A great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.
In praise we adore you, King Jesus. Enter our hearts today as you enter Jerusalem long ago, and lead us by faith in the way everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, as we think back to that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and the energy that flowed through that crowd. Hosanna! Hosanna! What a powerful moment that must have been. And Father, we come today singing Hosanna, praising your name. We thank you for this day. We come to worship you and you alone. Let us do it with everything we have. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Y'all did good. Y'all did really well. Hey, we're here. Hey, Christian. You're good, man. Harrison. Hey. All right. Now, you know, we're here talking about Palm Sunday. And, you know, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and, well, they were throwing a party for him. Weren't they? They were throwing a party. They were so excited for him to be there. They got these palm branches and they were waving, woo, Hosanna. You know, they were doing that kind of thing. And, you know, I got to thinking, if you went to a party and you were the main person at that party, what kind of car would you like to ride in? How would you like to get there? Sam?
A race car.
Okay. Oh. Well, you've got some great ideas. I pulled out some. I want you, and think about this, would Jesus come, if he was coming into Winston, all right, and would he ride in a car like that? Do you think he'd ride in a car like that?
Porsche,
that's a pretty good choice. Coming. Limo. Well, what about this one? You think he'd come in a car like that?
Maybe.
Yeah, he could probably afford this one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Oh, yeah, a Hummer limo, yeah. Yeah, y'all see that? You think he'd come in a Hummer limo? Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, you know what that is?
Yeah.
You don't, Mr. Raymond, what is this? Mustang Shelby? That's a Mustang Shelby.
Yeah, all right. You have to tell
them. Oh, but this. Oh, this next one. Oh, yeah. It's a Cobra Shelby. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, you think he would come in that one, maybe?
Of course.
Okay. Now, what about, do you think he would come in this?
No. Maybe.
You think?
That looks like it came from the dump.
You think it came from the dump, you think? Maybe, yeah. It's a toy car, maybe. It's a Pinto, is what it is. Y'all see that back there? It's a Pinto, and it's an orange Pinto. Now, which of those do you think Jesus would come if he was the center of the limo?
The Pinto.
But do you remember the story? Listen, do you remember the story? What did he come in on? He came in on a donkey. Now, the donkey is a little bit more like the Pinto than the Hummer limo, right? That's not necessarily the best form of transportation. The Pintos are the best cars? Yeah, okay. Did your dad have one?
No.
Oh, he didn't? Okay.
I'm talking about donkeys.
Oh, the donkey. They are the best cars. Could be. Now, listen. The important thing is, when Jesus came into town, people had a different idea of who Jesus was going to be. They thought he would come in on this big white horse and he was going to save the day. But he came in on the lowliest animal, a donkey. Because he was coming into Jerusalem to serve and to come to the cross and to do something that was just completely different than what the people expected. That's right, to go on the cross. Jesus does some things that we don't expect him to do, like coming in on a donkey or coming in on a Pinto. And what we want to remember is that he came to Jerusalem for you. And he wants to do something different in your life that you may not be expecting. And that's what Palm Sunday was about. We come in, all these big palm branches and praising Jesus. He came for you. And that's a pretty cool thing. All right? Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to be together. We thank you for how Jesus came in to Jerusalem. You know, he came in a different way than we would expect the King of Kings to come in. He didn't come in on a big white horse. He came in on a lowly donkey. He came to serve. He came to show how much he loves us. Help us to love him back, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you later.
This morning, our scripture reading begins in the book of Psalms, chapter 118, starting with verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Then moving to verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Then we will read from Zechariah chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. And then we read from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Would you pray with me? Jesus, our Lord, we shout hosannas to praise you. With eager hands, we place our cloaks and palms on the path before you. Yet, Lord, we confess that the mouths that seek to praise you often deny or defy you. And we confess that the hands that seek to serve you often become fists. Lord, hear us now as we confess to you. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And we thank you for the beautiful gift of forgiveness. And Father, as we come to you right now, we tell you that we do desire to serve you. But we know that we fall short of that many times. So God, we ask that you would forgive us, cleanse us. God, restore us to communion with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we read the assurance of pardon. I will read the light print, and I invite you to join with me as we read the dark. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hosanna. Amen."
Will you join me in prayer? Our great and gracious God, we come to you now in the stillness and the quietness of this moment, in the space between the words, in the quiet space where we listen. And so we pray only for knowledge and courage. Knowledge of your will. Not our will, but that your will be done in our lives. And the courage to hear that, but to do more than hear, to act on it. We come to you with grateful hearts, for as we look around our lives in each moment, there is so much for which we have to be gracious and thankful and grateful to you for all the abundance with which we are blessed. And we thank you now for the opportunity to return just a portion of that to you. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
I think if you listen, you can hear the crowd off in the distance. You may not be able to hear the words distinctly, but you begin to hear this kind of a muffled roar. And then all of a sudden you begin to hear very distinctly the cries of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You hear that, and as you look around, you see the bright colored clothes of all of those who have made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They're there. The Passover is coming. It's not for several days yet, and the people are getting restless. And then a rumor starts. A rumor starts, and it circulates among the people, and it draws them away from their naps. It draws them away from their meals. It draws them away from their regular routine of life, because the rumor is this. The Messiah has revealed himself. Now use your imagination for just a moment. And as you do, you can begin to feel the people as they press together along the road. You can see in your mind's eye the dust from the road. You can smell the donkeys. You may smell the person beside you who hasn't bathed in several days. Maybe all of that. And you can sense the excitement that's gathering. And soon you find yourself climbing a tree to break off a palm branch. And then you come back to street level, and now you find that you've lost your spot in the line, and so you're trying to see through all the sea of waving palm branches. You may even find yourself shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Now, if you're the kind of person who likes to think about those kind of things, you may even find yourself wondering, what's all this about? Who is this man on the donkey that the people are treating like a king? And if he really is a new king, am I his subject? And being his subject, what does he expect from me? This morning, as we look at the subject, Why Palms, I want us to look at several points. The first of which is, I really want us to look at the king on a donkey. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 21 and be reading intermittently from that passage. So if you want to just take your Bible and open it up to Matthew 21 and kind of leave it open, I'll be referring back to it. But we'll start in verse 1 of Matthew 21. It's a familiar passage, but one that bears reading again this morning. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See the king on a donkey. You see, this is the last week of Jesus' earthly life prior to the crucifixion. And the crucifixion is 6 days away. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and he's coming despite danger. But he's coming because he has things left to do. He's coming because he has things left to say. Perhaps the most important thing that he said publicly, and he said symbolically. And that was in the fact that he rode a donkey into town. Now, why is that significant? There's four things I want us to note. First of all, I want us to note that so far as we know, Jesus never rode a donkey before. Think about it. As you read through Scripture, how did Jesus get from place to place? He walked. That's right. You know, if gas goes much higher, we may reacquaint ourselves with that mode of transportation. He walked. He went with his disciples. They walked everywhere they went. They were in a communal type of group that kind of traveled together.
They would bed down together and find a place. They would eat together. They would do all of that. They stayed together. And apart from an occasional time where he would depart from them and pray privately, we know that he spent their time with him. But yet now, he sends him to fetch a donkey. Why? That leads us to the second thing I want us to note. That is, entering the city on a donkey's colt was a simple way to symbolize the truth that Jesus, in fact, was embracing his kingship. He accepts that title. He accepts the people's praises as he comes in. He knew that when Solomon became king after David, that he rode his father's favorite mule in the inaugural procession into the royal city of Jerusalem. That story is in 1 Kings chapter 1, if you'd like to read it. You know, and now, here Jesus is a far greater son of David, if you will, and he rides triumphantly into Jerusalem, the city of kings, in a similar fashion. Which leads us to the third thing I want us to notice. And that is, a conquering king would have ridden into the city on what? A war horse. That's right. Perhaps a gilded chariot, but something along that line. But here's Jesus, and he rode on a donkey. So while he accepted the title of king, he refused to be labeled as a military Messiah that the people, even his disciples, wanted. Which leads us to the fourth thing I want us to notice about the king on a donkey, and that is that Jesus had specified that the donkey was to be a young colt that had never been ridden. So, okay, what's the purpose of that? This suggests that the sacred aspects of the journey to Jerusalem were very important to Jesus. He wanted people to understand, because only animals that had not been ridden as beasts of burden could be considered for sacred purposes. If you go back and read in Numbers chapter 19, verse 2, and 1 Samuel 6, verse 7, you'll find this to be the case. Only animals that had not been ridden and used as beasts of burden could be used for sacred purposes. So the unridden animal and the unridden animal's willingness to bear Jesus says something about who Jesus is. Jesus is not only a king, he is a divine king. He is a sacred king. So this is not a political occasion whatsoever. It really isn't. It's a sacred one. The king on a donkey. The king on a donkey. Second, I want us to look at the adoring crowd, and we'll pick up in verse 6. The adoring crowd. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Imagine what these disciples must have been thinking. Since they had begun following Jesus, this is what they had been looking for. And as they stood here and they approached, coming across the Kidron Valley, and they could see Jerusalem, and they were excited, and Jesus is preparing to climb on this donkey's back. You know, probably the string of anticipation just snapped for them. They knew that Jesus was perfectly capable of walking, and they knew that he did not do anything without a purpose. So why, they say, why? He's saying something here. By riding this donkey in, he's saying something. And then it gradually dawned on them that what Jesus is saying is that he is embracing, accepting the title of king, .. Disciples had longed for this day. They wondered if it ever would come. Once they realized that that was what was at hand, they did everything they could to make this a royal celebration. They put their cloaks on the back of the donkey. Probably for two reasons. One, to make it more comfortable to ride on. But secondly, to make the donkey a little more presentable looking. They put their cloaks on the donkey. And it wasn't very hard, probably, to stir up the crowd. Think about it. You know, people are there, they're gathered for the feast. You know, it hadn't started yet. What are we going to do? We're hanging out for a week. All of a sudden the rumor comes in, Jesus the Messiah has proclaimed himself king. The king's coming, the king's coming, the king's coming. The word spread quickly. People gathered along the road. The disciples did a good job. Jesus has proclaimed himself king. So soon, the road was jam-packed, probably with pilgrims that had come as well as locals alike. And they're along the road, and they've placed their cloaks along the road to show honor to Jesus as he rides in. And they broke palm branches, and they waved them in the air, and they spread them on the road. Which leads to the question, why palm branches? Why palm branches? Let me give you a little background. Prior to this occasion, the last time that Israel had been independent, politically speaking, had been 100 years before this. There was a guy named Judas Maccabeus. You may have heard or studied in history about the Maccabean Revolt. Judas Maccabeus was the one who led that revolt and led the Jewish people to a political victory over Rome. His nickname was, every tool man's favorite, the hammer. Judas Maccabeus, the hammer. And the hammer had adopted the palm branch as a symbol of his victory over Rome. He put the image of a palm branch on his coins. He used them in the temple feast to celebrate victory over Rome. So, when the crowd rushed to get palm branches, was it just because they were convenient? Or because they were hoping that their expectations would be fulfilled again? So you have cloaks, you have palm branches that make this a very royal procession. And the cheers of the people are just as significant. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We've talked before about Hosanna. The word itself is a Latinized transliteration of a Hebrew phrase that means please save. Save us. It occurs in Psalm 118, which Cindy read. And it occurs just before this other phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Both of these quotations were commonly used in the liturgy of the day for the Feast of the Tabernacles, when people would come together and they would wave branches and pray for God's help. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord was also a popular exchange, a greeting between pilgrims as they went to Jerusalem for the festival. And here it's used to pronounce a blessing on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. In verse 5, you see it. In John chapter 12, as Cindy read, you see it there. And you also, if you were paying attention in Zechariah, she read from Zechariah chapter 9. It says there, it's prophesied what would happen. In Zechariah chapter 9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous, having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. The king on a donkey. The adoring crowd. Thirdly, I want us to look at the open-ended story. In verse 10, we'll pick up again. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. As we look at this story, I think year after year after we read this story on Palm Sunday, we've just got to remember that the story doesn't end. You know, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people did take notice. Yes, they did. They took notice because they asked in verse 10, who is this? And the reply comes in verse 11, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And as we read this story, we also need to ask not only who is this, But we need to ask, who is Jesus to me? Who is this to me? Who is Jesus to me? You see, the problem is with palms, the problem with palms is that once you cut the branches from the tree, they don't live very long, do they? You've got evidence of that in your bulletin. They don't live very long. The problem with Palm Sunday is that the excitement of the crowd soon faded. And when Good Friday rolled around, the people who had been screaming Hosanna on Sunday were screaming Crucify Him on Friday. Their love for the Lord was shallow, and it was based entirely on their hope of what He could do for them. Isn't that ironic? Hosanna turned to crucify. You know, too many pilgrims get in behind Jesus on the way to the throne, but they're not willing to follow Him to the cross. Not even the disciples were willing to do that. They would wave their palm branches before the coming king, but they wouldn't obey the suffering servant. This day in the life of Jesus was significant in many ways. Jesus knew that the end of His earthly ministry was drawing near. He had been sent for this purpose. He understood that clearly. It was time to do what He'd been sent to do. It was His opportunity to be obedient to the will of God and accomplish the purpose that God had sent Him for. It's a day in history that I think we need to pay attention to, because it speaks to every Christian of every single age. Because none of us knows how many more days we have to live here. You know, that's been just dramatically played out in the last week or so. You know, we read about the beautiful girl down at Chapel Hill, president of her student body down there, tragically killed. So young, her life ended so quickly. We read about violence in schools, deaths that are brought about so young, and life ends so quickly. Life is so fragile. We read about sectarian violence that is killing Christians, not every day, but every minute of every day, all around the world. Life is so fragile. And it ends so quickly. None of us know. None of us know what the next minute, let alone the next week or the next month, holds for us. None of us know that. We don't know how much longer we have on this earth. But we know that God has a purpose for us. And if you don't, you need to know that this morning. God has a purpose for you here. He calls us to love Him. And He calls us to love others with the kind of love that makes a difference in this world and in the world to come. You see, He calls us to speak the truth. He calls us to reach out with our hands and to hold out our hearts to others. And He calls us to do that now. If you look in your bulletin, there's taped a palm leaf. Anyone dare to venture how long this leaf has been separated from the branch and the source of life? We've got a florist. Where's the florist? We got one right behind me. We have other florist. Where's wherever Bud is? We have another florist. What would you guess? A couple weeks. Any other guesses? Not that that's not right. Any other guesses? Pardon? From the choir, this is the interactive part of the congregation. 2 days? 3 days. Do I hear four? So you were going with the symbolism, weren't you? The three-day thing. I would say, okay, Bob's a spiritual giant in the crowd. He's going with the three-day symbolic thing. Actually, it was a year ago. A year ago. And the reason I placed them, Sybil and Gail and others in the office, placed them And your bulletin today was to help you think. What have I done in the last year to advance the kingdom of God? Has my expectation been so much that God is going to provide for the here and now that I have completely neglected the heavenly kingdom? Because if that is my sin, then I have the same sin as the people who shouted Hosanna on Sunday and crucify on Friday. I have the wrong expectation of God. I have the wrong expectation of God's Son, of why He came, what His purpose was. His purpose was to establish a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly one. So just as the palm leaf dries up, if we are not advancing the heavenly kingdom, so too spiritually we are drying up. I want you to take your bulletin home and carefully remove this little palm leaf. Please don't try to do it in here. Robert will kill me if he comes in and all these little palm fragments are all over the sanctuary. But take it home and remove it there with a knife or something and place it somewhere where when you see that, it will remind you that we are here for the purpose of effecting a heavenly kingdom. What we do and say in our earthly lives is to prepare us and our loved ones and those that we encounter, whether it be on the street or in the classroom or in the grocery store, to help prepare them for a heavenly kingdom, eternity. That's my hope and prayer for you today, that the coming days and weeks will be more fruitful than the past year. Let's pray together. Dear Father, like the palm leaf, our lives can look pretty good. We can look pretty good to have been completely separated from You for a whole year. But Father, we know that inwardly we're drying up. And so we pray now that Your Spirit would refresh us, that we would reconnect to the source of life, the source of spiritual life, the water that quenches our thirst, that we will never go thirsty again. And that water we know to be the blessing, the life water from Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as Your children, we would understand the importance of embracing Your Word and studying Your Word daily, speaking with You, asking for Your help, for Your forgiveness, for Your encouragement, for Your strength and Your power, as we seek to fulfill Your purpose for our life, and that's to love others unconditionally as You've loved us, to reach out our hands and help others just as You reached out Your hands and took the nails that should have been ours. Father, we love You, but sometimes we don't realize the full extent of what that love should be and how that should be demonstrated and worked out in our daily lives. So we pray that You would help us this week, today, even today, as we begin living our lives for You, as we begin living our lives so that others can see Christ in us. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. This morning I want to invite you, if you don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a moment we'll stand and we'll sing an invitation hymn. If you would like to receive Jesus, we invite you to come. I'll be glad to share with you. Jeff will be here as well. Be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, that palm branch, that leaf there, that's me. I really haven't done a lot in the last year to affect the heavenly kingdom, and I need to get back on track. If that's you, the altar will be open. Come, pray, ask God to redirect you and give you the strength and guidance that you need, and pray that you'll receive that. You can do that at your pew if you'd like to as well. If you would like to come and pray that the Spirit would be free to move in this place to convict and convince and encourage and all those things the Holy Spirit does, certainly the altar is open for that. And if you'd like to come and be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, we invite you to do business with God and take this time of invitation seriously as we stand and sing together now. I invite you to be seated for just a moment. Sam, come stand with me up here, honey. This is Sam Cashwell. You all know her. You've helped raise her. And she's coming this morning. She has prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Her parents have been working with her. Jeff's been working with her. And we're delighted that she's come to the point now where she says, I've received Christ, and I want to be a member of the church. I want to be baptized and be a member of College Park. And we're excited about that. If you will pray for her and encourage her, will you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, Sam. You stand right here on this side of me. And Mom and Dad and Grandma and Granddad and whoever else wants to come stand with her, you're free to do so at the end of the service because she'll be greeting people at the end of the service. So, Barney, would you and Julie come on up? This is Barney and Julie Barnes. They are coming this morning for membership in College Park as well. Barney has prayed to receive Christ, and so he is a believer, but he has not experienced believer's baptism, so he's coming for baptism to be a part of College Park as a member. And Julie is coming from Eastway Baptist Church, and she's coming by transfer of a letter. And if for some reason they aren't computerized and don't have record of her being, I'm just kidding. But anyway, but she's coming by transfer of a letter from Eastway Baptist Church. And if you will delight in their decision and pray for them and encourage them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. We invite you to come by and speak with Barney and Julie and Sam at the conclusion of the service. But I want to ask you now, if you would please bow your head for the benediction. And following the benediction, we're going to have a seat there for the response to the benediction, and then they'll be back up here to receive you. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, the chance to be together, to experience your love and your encouragement. Father, we pray that our lives would have been changed as a result of what we've heard and experienced in worship this morning. It's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
I know.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.